Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah. Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and back with me, like he's never been before, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, we've missed you. Have you missed me too?
Hi.
Within the house.
How are you? It's great to be back.
Is it?
How much time did I miss?
2 episodes, Norm. I've been devastated. The crowd stopped listening.
Has anyone messaged saying that they missed me?
No.
Oh, okay.
The people are furious, Norm. They've right. spoken and they want you back, and here we are delivering.
I'm back. It's been a busy time of year.
It's making me sick.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're recording this in the evening, and yet here I am with a coffee once again.
This is how busy he is. He has to have his mornings at night. But Norm, you're wrapping up. We can see the end.
Yep, super close.
Feels good.
And there was about 2 or 3 weeks there where I was really on a hot streak.
Oh, yeah. You had a good, but that's when you were the most unavailable.
Right.
Big, because, yeah, your big news, your big time. That's and we're right. nobody. And by we, I mean too. Just the listeners. I'm fine.
There was a lot of travel as well.
Off you go on a plane and back again.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, Norm, scale of 1 to 10 in terms of your self-esteem?
I feel pretty good. Yeah. It was pretty low yesterday, but...
Yeah, rough day yesterday. Yeah, just like that. Yesterday. But then you wake up and it's fine.
It is fine, yeah.
You know, that's the problem with the podcast.
I'm a perfectionist. That's my problem.
That's your problem. The problem with the podcast is you don't know what day you're going to catch somebody on.
Right,
so
right.
sometimes it's a problem because they might not be feeling their best and then they've recorded like that and mm-hmm. they're stressed out. That's why we do the after party on the Patreon where they come back.
And they can reevaluate.
Sure. But that's the good part about the podcast, because when you catch somebody on a streak and on a roll and in a good mood, hello, how nice to experience that with them.
Yeah, it's what's difficult about that is there isn't time to really relish in it when it's happening this fast, mm-hmm. but you do know that you're riding a kind of a wave, you know what I mean?
Do you think being a perfectionist is why you want to do this podcast, because it's perfect?
No.
Far from it, my God.
No, I...
you are a perfectionist.
That's true, yeah.
And it affects your self-esteem in that you hold yourself to an impossible standard, so you're setting yourself up for the perception of failure, when meanwhile, to everybody else, for the most part, something's a success.
Right.
Not always. We can't nail it every single time.
It's hard to predict.
Hard to predict, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm having the same experience. I recently was called for jury duty.
Oh, right. I see the letter on the desk.
And it's
right
on
here.
The desk. And because I'm a perfectionist, I want to be the best juror I can.
Right.
And I think I'm just going to go in there and announce right away that he's guilty.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to get in there and go, he's guilty. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, just when they interview you about...
For the interview,
Yeah, just be like, I think men are guilty.
Ugh. Isn't that the way in?
Yeah.
I hope I get picked. If I get picked, please know this. I will be discussing the case actively while it's happening. What are they going to do? Listen to the fucking podcast? Come on now.
Yeah. Imagine. LA County.
But for real, if you work for the law and listen to the podcast, don't rat me out.
Yeah. Also, like, if you're committing a crime right now and you could be going to court...
Yeah.
Just remember that you could be the juror.
Guys, imagine if your life is in my hands. That's an actual nightmare.
Yeah, too much.
Because you know what I'm saying, take him all the way.
To jail.
Yeah.
To prison,
Take them halfway to jail.
Yeah, they were already in jail, now prison.
Norm, I say we get to it.
Who's the guest?
Yeah, here's the thing about the guest.
What's happening with the show? Has there been any changes? No.
I'm so ahead on recordings. That's the thing. So I got really ahead on recordings. I believe in this one, we do talk about January, and it will be coming out on the last day of January. So that's perfect.
Okay.
But I've been ahead on recordings, and people are coming. You're missing them like ships in the night. They have been coming in while you've been in your office working. I've had people in and out without you seeing them.
I see.
But I think you might have seen this
men.
Right to jail. Yeah. But this is someone I do believe you met, and you guys got to chat for a bit.
Okay.
Everybody.
What's with the big mystery? Yes.
Please help me welcome my guest and potentially Norm's friend, Steve Slaga.
Oh, yes.
Right after this break. It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party. Steve.
Hello.
Welcome finally to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast.
It's happened, 2023.
You know what? This was always our year.
Yeah. New year, new me. New year, new you.
Well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Let's get right into that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so here's the thing. I have been saying, in terms of self-esteem, I have been saying my number has been affected by a slow start to the year.
Okay.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. are you feeling anything the same? Are you coming in cruising high today? Where have I caught you?
Well, I'm going to admit something, which is that I cheated a little bit.
Okay.
Because
a first.
I cheated. Oh, I've listened to the pod. I know the question. And so I was fully like spending my morning being like, I'm going in with a 9. I'm going to be nice to myself today. I'm going to be productive this morning. I'm going to get things done so that I can go in at a 9.
Oh my God, you snake and in the grass.
I know, I know. Cancel me. Cancel
wow,
me. Canceled. End of episode.
Oh
gosh.
My God.
So yeah, so I don't know, like, I don't know how long that 9 will last.
Okay.
But I made a promise to myself to feel at a 9 today. And sometimes you got to fake it till you make it.
Oh, sometimes. Yeah. Hello, every day.
Yes.
I got to say, I 100% accept it. It can be a choice.
Yeah.
It can be like just mm-hmm. something that you're like, we're going to make today a great day. Here are all the go-tos.
Yeah.
Now, you said an important one that I relate to more than anything is getting things done.
Yes.
Oh my God.
You've got
can
it.
Can I just, mm-hmm. this is the slow start. I'm pointing to everybody outside for some reason, but I am pointing outside. I'm blaming society for starters, but I have been feeling a bit of a slog. I know it's the rain, but I have been feeling a slog in terms of gearing up.
Well, it's also, you know, the weather, and January is the dead of winter.
Oh my God.
And we're in Los Angeles complaining. So imagine everyone else.
Are we done yet?
So
like,
what are we doing starting our new year
yes.
and trying to have a fresh start when like, shouldn't it be spring? Shouldn't April be when we're all going to come out of hibernation?
I couldn't agree more.
And start anew. But instead we're trying to like, why? Because it's January? Because that's what the calendar says?
Yeah.
It's the dead of winter.
I should be thriving.
Yeah.
I should be thriving in my own way, and mm-hmm. instead I'm feeling pressure.
Yeah.
Because it's a new year, and I'm like, great, you can make this whatever you want. But I'm like, oh my God, it's like I have to make whatever I want all at once.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like. It's everything everywhere all at once. Yeah. This is what it feels like. Hit moving.
Mm-hmm. What's your resolution? What are you going to do different? All that. And
I mean,
it's like, I've learned that the best thing to do in terms of resolutions is to try to not think about like, if I try to be like, I'm going to stop doing something, forget it. If it's going to be something that's going to be a daily challenge, forget it. But if it's something that's just so simple, like, I want to read more, or like, I'm going to see more movies, or just like, I'm gonna go out and see more live stuff.
Yeah.
Like, something that, like, you enjoy. Like,
but that sounds like action-based, mm-hmm. which is like, which I'm really enjoying hearing.
As opposed to... The inaction, the like lessening of things. I'm not going to do this.
Exactly. Yeah. The like restriction. Mm-hmm. This one sounds like more of an abundance.
Yeah.
Like, let's get more things in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hot topic with my therapist. I'm yammering on about this at brunch today as well with some mm-hmm. pals. Boundaries.
Yes.
Let's get right into it.
Right.
And you're feeling at a 9, so this is the perfect time to talk about boundaries with you, because I have a few.
No, mm-hmm.
I laid down the law with you. I'm like, I'm sick of you. I'm sick of the way you're acting since you got here. You stole my free water.
That's
I'm done.
True. You offered me water and I took it. That was the test.
You didn't ask how much.
I did not offer to Venmo you.
You didn't offer to Venmo me anything.
No.
I've requested you. You've yet to check your phone.
I have not checked my phone to Venmo you. I asked to use your restroom.
That's not free.
I could have gone before I left the house.
Could have gone before you left the house.
Yeah, I didn't. I looked into your backyard. You didn't even ask me to.
Yeah,
I didn't even ask if I could.
Ran to the back door.
Commented
it was kind of really weird. And you were like, what is this?
Yeah, I was shocked.
It was my New Year's resolution is to not let such aggressive people in my life.
It was a lot,
that's
yeah.
the boundary I'm setting with
you. Yeah, I get it. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, now that we've set that,
yeah.
This is what my therapist told me, because mm-hmm. we were talking about dry January. Mm-hmm. Common topic.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. Or if not, then you're gearing up for dry February because you already broke dry January.
There it is.
Right? Yep. So it's like you're doing the bleed in, whatever it is, you're talking dry. Okay. Mm. And this is what she said to me. She goes, well, what's that setting you up for? Right? Mm. So for example, 1 month of not drinking, is that teaching me moderation or just lowering my tolerance until I raise it back up the next month?
You're absolutely right.
Like, what is that actually teaching me? Mm-hmm. I'm just ripping something out of my life, which maybe I need to. Maybe there's a big thing that's, or anybody, right? Maybe there's a thing where you're like, no, maybe this fully has to stop for an indefinite amount of time. Mm-hmm. But by me saying just 1 month, I'm like, all you have to do is make it through this and then you can go buck wild again.
Right. Yep. Well, now it's February, what are we doing? Go nuts. Yeah.
And if it was to lose the weight, which is a common goal people have, then you know you're going to gain it all back and then some.
And there's a more well-rounded way to do that than just cutting out alcohol. But no, that's absolutely right. I haven't even thought about that of just, if you just are like, I'm not going to do this for a month, then what are you? That's good.
Well, what are the, so that's what she said. She goes, it doesn't teach you realistic boundaries. Yeah. So for example, it's like, a boundary is like, maybe you can have a drink, but it needs to be in a social setting as opposed to by yourself, if that's something you're doing at home sitting quietly, nothing's actually happening.
Yeah.
That can be very isolating, maybe bring you down. Whereas one of them, if you do want to have a drink, you're like, okay, well, it's because I've left the house. I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. It's an event.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that. It's like...
And you're kind of lessening, like, if you're in a dry January, just to withdraw and just to like withhold yourself this thing, then you're going out with friends and instead of having a nice time with friends and enjoying that one or two cocktails, you're kind of cheapening your experience. And
and if somebody doesn't drink, to make this relatable as well to you, it's like cutting out sugar for a month.
Yeah.
It's like you can do this with anything. Coffee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've done all that. Dude. Yeah.
And okay, this is great. So tell me, for the cutting out sugar, what effects did it have on you throughout the month and then once that month ended?
Oh,
or that time period?
I apologize if I made it seem like I made a whole month. Turn
this out. Oh my God, that's amazing. I apologize.
It was no sugar for like 2 weeks, and then it was no added sugar.
Okay.
And then it was just forget it.
It was just forget it. Yeah. So I think
maybe I was ahead of your therapist. Maybe subconsciously I was thinking, what's the end goal here? I might as well just not have one.
You know, it's like we attempted, I've tried to do the no sugar. I last 30 seconds, much like on a dry January.
Me too.
But it's like, much like on a dry January, why it's like I have impossible times lasting for this. It's too much pressure. I collapse under pressure. I got banned from having birthday parties. Here's a high pressure situation at the age of 12 by my mom, because I don't know if you had this when you were a kid where it's like you got to invite the whole class or you got to invite all these people, whatever. And I would always invite friends that like maybe didn't get along, and then they'd get in a fight and then I'd end up crying alone at the party because it was too much pressure for the party to be good.
I can relate to the like having friends that don't get along.
Okay, so what did it do to you? Like for me, it made me be like, it's all my fault. What have I done? Terrible self-esteem in that moment.
Yeah. For me, it was more of just... I feel like I still have this residual from like high school, from like my girlfriend in high school. Unfortunately, that didn't work out. And then
much like the sugar-free moment. Right?
I looked at her and I was like, what is the end goal here?
But back to high school, it would make you
One of my best friends was a girl, and I was dating a girl, and they did not get along.
Oh,
and
that's bad.
They always, both of them kind of like put me in the middle. And I think I was partially responsible for like boundaries. Because I was actually just thinking about this today for some reason, because my high school girlfriend, just posted on Facebook, like, But I was just remembering, like, oh, after me, she immediately started dating a new guy in college. And good for them, it worked out. They were dating all through college. They're mm-hmm. married with kids now.
Oh, wow.
How about it? She works corporate for Claire's.
Okay, so, guys, yep. I smell an opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Do you want any branding? Do you want to see if I can get branding. You some ad revenue for Claire?
Yeah, I need a necklace in my name.
Yeah, okay, I'll see what I can do.
See what you can do.
We don't speak, but yeah, I feel like, and that bled into college also, because I was still trying to have these relationships with both of them in college, and I feel like I've always have this idea of, like, friends are separate.
Like, okay, me too.
Oh, my these people friends, they do not mix with my these people friends because friends don't always mix. And I've been burned, and so I just, like, it's just wired in my DNA, like, oh no, those are my so-and-so friends. I'm going here with them, so I'm not going to invite this person.
Can I just say how relieved I am to hear that? I recently had a conversation about this, about pockets of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the friend I was talking to about it, and I was saying it as casually as you are, she was like, what do you mean? So she was like, so when you have problems with this kind of stuff, you don't come to me, you go to this person? And I was like, yeah, but, you know, it's because it's pockets.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to explain it where I was mm-hmm. like, it's so I don't exhaust anybody.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have my comedy friends where I see you guys at shows. We have, you guys all come do the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We have heart to hearts. It's a blast. It's whatever. But then it's like, you have friends from your past or back home. It's like, they know a different side of you.
Yeah.
Maybe that side of you before you even knew you were a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Or the development of that.
Them, like, combining, it just fills me with stress.
Oh my God, I can't imagine. Yeah. Or it's like work friends.
Yeah.
Are you going to take me out to go be with your work friends? It's kind of like, how do you explain each other to each other?
Exactly. Because there's also just, you know, like, being comedians and being in the comedy community, we love our bits.
We love our jokes. And we can handle them.
And so you bring anybody from that world into, like, I don't know, like your high school friends who all became accountants or something. And it's just like, because then I'm also wondering, do they want it? Like, I'm worried about their comfort level.
Yes.
I'm worried about them getting along. I'm worried about all of that. And it's, I feel it's, I blame the two first significant female relationships in my life, really.
I blame society.
I mean, besides my mom and sister.
No, your mom and sister, out. You never talked to them. You were like, I got my own thing going on.
Yeah.
I got these two ladies fighting over me.
I'm moving out. I've got two ladies fighting over me.
Moving out. Yeah, you really escalated
life's
the situation.
Life's going to be good. I've got it all figured out.
I got a cute little studio. Mm-hmm. They each have a key.
Mm-hmm. Please send money because I don't make enough at the pretzel place.
Wait, really? Like Wetzel?
It was a Wetzel's type. It was called Twist and Shout Pretzels.
How was it?
Oh, it was a defining experience of my life.
Along
what? With, yeah. And also, to tie it into the theme, a really, really, really big self-esteem boost also because, so I guess it started when my brother worked at Arby's when he was 14.
Well, they have the meats.
They have the meats.
Well,
back then, I don't think they had as many meats. But
oh,
he worked at the
yeah.
mall Arby's. And because it was one of the few places that hired you when you were under 16. And
okay.
Our parents never, like, told us to go out and get jobs or anything like that. They never, but it might be because we both started working when we were 14. But it was like, I want to get out of the house and I want money. I want to buy whatever I want.
I started working when I was like 12.
Yeah.
Nannying.
Like, yeah.
Or not nannying, but like playing with the kids in the backyard.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like, all right, we're gone for the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. They left me alone with the children.
Quick, come down here. We want to show you how to reset the pilot on the heater just in case.
Okay, cool. I can't even reach it.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. So he's at the Arby's.
So my brother's at Arby's. I really decided to start this at the very beginning. But so when I turned 14, it was like, my turn to get a job.
Okay.
You know, why not? I wasn't really involved in a lot of extracurricular stuff. I had just quit marching band, so my schedule was wide open.
Well, you got to rest those dogs.
Thank you. I played saxophone.
Yeah, that's heavy.
The amount of parades.
It's too much.
And concert bands.
I know you're supposed to get 10,000 steps, but have we not gone too far here with the marching bands?
Yeah. I recently, and I'm sorry for so many tangents.
Oh my God, I love it.
I recently rewatched my high school marching band state finals performance.
And?
Because it was on YouTube. Okay, well, first of all, we placed. Like, we went, we passed regionals, districts, all that. We got to states. We placed. I want to say we're, like, second.
Now we're talking.
Maybe. Yeah. So, like, we were good.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote. It sounds terrible, and it looks like mush. Like it's,
oh, no.
It just reminded me of, it was vibes of when you go see like a child's fifth grade vocal music concert, yeah. And it's, oh, yep. For a bunch of 15 to 18 year olds running around on a football stadium playing instruments, yep. We were the second best yeah. in the state. That doesn't mean it was...
That means nothing, that almost.
Means nothing.
And it says a lot about your state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we Michigan, were the best of the worst.
Michigan. So my brother had a job. So I got a job when I was 14 at Twist and Shout Pretzels. And nobody else was under 16. Everybody else... Like, my mom came...
Did you interview well? Like, it was a good interview?
Yes. Yes, it was a good interview.
Because think about it, Steve. It has to be to hire a 14-year-old. Like, a big risk.
I mean, you're right. And I had to hesitate there because I did have an interview for PacSun where I did work a couple years later, and it was a disastrous interview.
And you got the job.
Yeah, and we can put a pin in that.
We're going to pin that.
Disastrous interview.
Okay, we're going to pin that.
Mortifying, really. So I started working at Twist and Shout. I think the reason that the manager hired me was because I was four. So the rules in Michigan, when you're underage, I could only work 3 hours max on a weekday, 7 hours max on a weekend. And I want to say like 18 hours total. And so what I was brought in for was literally every day I got there after school, Monday through Friday, so that Maggie, the manager, could just dip. For 3 hours. Like, she was there all morning, she was alone, she was hungry for her lunch break, and so I would come in, and Maggie would leave and go smoke and have lunch and, you know, have a mall walk and come back. So that was, and then I was also setting up for, like, the closing crew, but I couldn't work. Oh, and I couldn't work past 7.
What a dream job. So yeah. We're talking, you just logged a 4-7 shift
mm-hmm.
and made bank
mm-hmm.
so some lady can have a cig.
Yeah. And I want to say it was $5.25 an hour. So
okay.
I want, like, we're not cruising. To brag, I was walking away with $15+ a day.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Back Come then, on, we have to
yeah.
admit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but so the self-esteem comes in because everybody else besides Maggie was like the adult manager and everyone else was a high school student, but okay. they were all 16, 17. They partied, they drove, they went to colleges and drank, they smoked
wow.
cigarettes and other things.
Okay. And this is not that yeah. kind of podcast.
No, no, no. Don't do bad things. And they just took a liking to me. I was young. I was funny. They liked me. And so at 14, they really... They wanted to corrupt me in terms yeah. of like, we want to take your first party.
Oh my God, they were your mentors.
They were my mentors. But so in school, I was always fine. I feel like I get a vibe similar to me from you of like, at lunchtime, I could basically sit at any table because I was yes. friends with everybody.
Yep, it's weird.
But it was hard yep. to find a table because I didn't feel like I fit at a specific
or
table.
Or if I did have a table, it would change year mm-hmm. to year, halfway through the year. Yep. Like, so it's like I'd fit for a second.
Exactly.
And then
friend pockets.
Wouldn't fit friend pockets.
We had all the pockets. We exactly. don't have a table. We have
so it's
pockets.
Like temporary. Everything yeah. was, it was like being a kid that grew up on army bases. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're moving all the time. You don't know when you're moving yeah. and all that kind of
then
stuff.
Then you end up
right?
just sitting at the Christian kids table because they're all nice enough.
Oh my God. I did have for a year a group of Christian friends.
Yeah. They'll take you in. They'll take
they
you in.
They really did. My mom was thrilled. She yeah. was like, finally, we've landed. Sorry, Amal, not quite.
Yeah. So kind of going from high school where, yeah. you know, I was not unpopular. I was yeah. voted most sarcastic my senior year. So, so people liked me.
Yeah.
But to have these cool, like, cigarette-smoking,
oh
R-rated movie
I'm
seeing,
still that way,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah.
It's like... There is the cool kids of LA, of the industry, of
oh,
whatever.
For sure.
And it's like, I'm not talking about like job related. I'm just talking about people, like not someone how you're like, oh, they can give me a job. That's not what I mean of like a social climber.
Yeah.
I'm talking like somebody that you're just like, wow, look at you go. You are yourself to the T. You don't care what anybody else thinks.
Mm-hmm.
You do cool projects. You're just like cruising through life right yeah. now. And then I'm like, when they're like, oh, you're funny. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Oh sure. my God.
Yeah.
That's how you get accepted. They tell you you're funny. Then, yeah. oh, let's have a drink or something.
There
right?
we go. So maybe there's something to be said about so much of our self-esteem tied up in the opinions of people that we think are cooler than us.
I think so.
Maybe.
I know that affects me.
Yeah.
To this day, because I'll be like, oh, I shouldn't be at this party or I shouldn't go to this person's mm-hmm. house or like, oh, they don't want me here. And like, I present as a very confident person with high self-esteem, which I can have for sure. I could be a 9, sure. Yeah. But you put me in some social situation, Steve. Oh my God.
I'm the exact, can I tell you?
Please.
I had a joint birthday party with a UCB person.
Yes.
And both of us very well, you know, lots of friends, very well connected in that like time and place.
Yeah.
And the party was in my own backyard. And I was an hour late because I was just convinced like, my birthday just happens to be the same time as his. That's why this is a double party. Like, nobody really cares if I'm there. Like, I'm going to their birthday party.
Yeah.
I'm opening for his birthday.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
And deep down, I know that's not true. Mm-hmm. And everybody there could tell me to my face it wasn't true, but, like, getting over that hump of getting there and not just laying in bed being like,
look at our imaginations. Mm-hmm. Look what we're capable of. Mm-hmm. So it's like, of course, we're going to make huge assumptions and jump from point A to point D.
Yeah.
Like bypass the logic because that's what we're paid to do. Mm-hmm. But then if it's in a negative headspace, like if it's in a positive headspace, you're like, I could do absolutely anything. And then you've got this grandiose and you're bringing that confidence to stage, to audition, to writer's rooms. But if you do it for a negative where you're like, nobody wants me here, you're like, no, for real, nobody wants me here at my birthday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the joint party thing doesn't help. Because then, of course, now you have what you think is your logic.
Exactly.
Where you're like, no, see, it's this person, not me, of course.
Yeah, and I've always, so for a long time, I guess I'm over it now because I'm an adult, but through high school and college, and a little bit in the UCB early, like my early comedy improv days, I've always felt like I would attach myself to like a really funny, charismatic, cool person, like my best friend, my senior year of high school, and then freshman year of college. We lived in the dorms, and we lived in a house together.
Oh,
and his name was Todd, and he was significantly more popular than me. So when he joined drama and did the school play, and like we connected and hung out, I was just like, oh my God, like the cred I have right now. Like, not only do the Twist and Shout people like think I'm cool, but also I'm friends with Todd now. He's friends with the popular
Steve
kids.
This is huge.
Yeah. And then we went away to the same college together. He had somebody else already going in as a roommate, so we lived in the same building but not as roommates. But I remember we hung out, we went to all the same things together, we were in the same group together, and there would be times where like it was so obvious that Todd has the charisma.
Okay.
He has the energy. Like, some people just have that.
Yep.
And you're just drawn to them. And Todd had that. And so I always felt like I was in Todd's shadow. And I always felt like... And there were times where I knew I was in Todd's shadow. One time, two girls asked me to get... We were all headed back to the dorms from a party. And two girls asked me to get out of the car they were riding in so that Todd could ride with them. So, like, there were real pieces of evidence.
And you're used to two women fighting over you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And now fighting to get to Todd.
Yeah. It was wild.
Wow.
And so that kind of stuck with me. Then I went to, I transferred, I moved to Chicago, and then I had a roommate friend that was, I felt like it just replicated the
oh my God, the Todd again.
Thing. Where's Matt? And then, you know, so that was, you know, when Drew and I started doing Medium Friends and like doing comedy stuff together, that was something I had to really like be aware of and work on, is like, we are two separate people. We offer two different things.
Yeah.
And
do you feel you did that? Because on the outside,
from time to time,
I think you did.
Thank you.
On the outside, I know you guys, I've seen you guys play a million times, you know, but it's like, I've seen you both separate as well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I would never think of one of you and think of the other. Like, when I asked you to do it, I wasn't like, oh, and then Drew can do it. Like, no, of course Drew can do it. Yeah. But I mean, like, it wasn't my first thought. And usually in pairings, you'll be like, this person and then this person, because that's how we always think.
I think it's a little bit of selfishness on my part of like...
Okay. I think it's self-preservation.
It's self-preservation. And it's also, you know, when you're working and doing all of these projects with somebody and they have other things going on, you know, early on I thought I could... rocket to the top, he could rocket to the top, and the other one, this will end. So yeah. I always thought, you know what? I've always got to have my own thing going on.
Yeah.
I've always got to have, like, what's something that's uniquely me that I can work on. So if this comes to an end, you know, we're in like year 6 of our sabbatical. But like, you know, just knowing like this, I can't put everything in another person's basket again after doing it so many times before. It was like, I've been down that road and I don't have the energy to
can't
do
bank on someone else.
Yeah.
Got to bet on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
I have been notoriously my whole life in partnerships, mm-hmm. always. Usually with women, mm-hmm. because hey, guess what? Yeah. Why not? Let's all put on wigs of each other's hair.
Exactly. So yeah.
This is the only reason why.
And women have more fun costume. Yeah, women have more fun costume, makeup, accessory choices.
We're just wearing my regular clothes at this point and popping off. Yeah, I don't know. It kind of happened that way. I've definitely worked with a lot of people in the past, but those were usually the ones that lasted the longest because we would be best friends mm-hmm. as well, right?
Yeah.
That gets messy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I loved those duos that I worked in. I learned a lot. I realized I love bouncing ideas off of other people.
Yeah.
But there was always an end in sight.
Yeah.
No matter what. Because the bottom line is I was like, I have a better chance of getting paid as one than I do as two. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do as two. Yeah. You can develop something. You can sell something. You're both in it. You're this, you're that. And I was like, but for me, I was like, I can't just hope somebody's looking for two women.
Right.
I can't just hope that.
Mm-hmm.
I always know they'll be looking for one.
Right.
Always.
Yeah. You know, they say,
you know,
you were born into this industry alone and you will leave this industry alone.
Just... give me this. Give me this connection here and now. And then I will be gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, you're totally right about having your own thing going. That is your voice. Mm-hmm. Because in a duo, a partnership, a relationship, you know, dating, all this kind of stuff, anything with somebody else, it is sometimes that challenge to not lose your voice in that. And, you know, it's so typical. It's like your friend starts dating somebody and all of a sudden they disappear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like swallowed up into this relationship. And it can sometimes be they're swallowed up into their partner's life or just that couple becomes a unit now.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And not what you recognize.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Or, and they might marry someone who you don't even... maybe it's not that you don't like them, but you don't even really know them. And
I've
now
had
it's
a
like,
couple of
excuse
those.
Me, I have one of my best friends from college got married, and then I was like, oh, I feel like you're a different person now. And then they got divorced, and we hung out in Chicago and, you know, got drunk and, like, broke into her apartment building's hot tub, and, like, we're just like, that sounded sexual. It wasn't supposed to. but, like, we were just being, like,
sure,
young college
wild.
Kids again. And in my mind, I'm like, this, like, I... like, my emotion is valid, but I don't know how to say that, like, I'm so happy you're divorced.
Oh, my God. You're like I'm so glad you're back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have some friends, same thing mm-hmm. of, like, either a breakup or a divorce or, like, whatever. And a friendship, too. Had friendships, like, people had that with me where they're like, I'm so glad you're not hanging out with this person anymore. Like, mm-hmm. Again, any kind of pairing. But it's, like, it's just so nice when... you have somebody come back into your life and the core of them has not changed.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, your hobbies change, your locations change, maybe mm-hmm. your job, whatever. But like your core, you're like, oh, it's still you.
You're still there. Yeah.
And I never left. So I'm here with open arms. Let's do it. Like, that's the thing. I'm not going to shut out anyone that shuts me out.
Yeah.
I'm here. So it's like, if you need a break because you don't want to be near me because, you know, I don't like the person that you're with and whatever. And if we need to take a break, that's mm-hmm. fine. But I'm mm-hmm. like, these nasty relationships, I'm like, they either come to an end or you snap.
Yeah.
And you need someone to talk to and I will be here.
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be waiting.
And for all the friends listening, we're here.
Yeah.
But it has to be a joint call.
Yes.
So we both need to be on the line.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if I don't know you.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. We will be here. Right
if
here.
If anyone's
going to
tell you who you are, it's me.
Yeah. And we're not, I'm not leaving until we get a call.
Actually, quite frankly, we are live.
Yeah.
Until we get a call, like Frasier, we're not leaving.
And I am going to need to leave at some point because I've already been told I can't use the restroom again.
You use, and you use. When does it end?
Yeah. I even snuck into the laundry room. I was like, wow.
You did. And the laundry was going, and I thought, can we get away from the washer, please? Yeah, anything like, can happen. There? This I'm is asking, a liability.
What's in your washer?
What are all the items? Yeah. Whose is this?
Yeah. And then they dry next? Are we going to go? Are you hanging these or are you drying them?
Need help?
A lot of questions. Yeah, you need help?
I'm like, I guess.
I'm great with sorting socks. It's very
Yeah, everyone's
zen.
Like, how was the podcast? I'm like, oh, the recorder wasn't working, but we got a ton of chores done. Oh, I wasn't recording the whole time.
Yeah, we just had a great conversation, and then I cleaned her ceilings.
Steve, I have to be honest with you. At this rate, I am having a great conversation. I'd be thrilled if this wasn't recording. I'd be like, finally, yeah. Just us.
Mm-hmm.
Sick of everybody prying into our lives.
Everybody wants to know what we're... Yeah, no, for real.
Give us a break.
Can you actually turn that off and not post it? Can this just be ours?
I would. If this podcast believes in anything, it's things being ours. It's about self-care and self-preservation. Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. Speaking of, this just jarred.
Yes.
Jarred my memory. Wait. So you said it was high school cool into college cool, which was great. Then you kind of came into the comedy world.
Yeah.
Now, how did making the step of doing this thing that everybody liked you for, which was you being funny and sarcastic and trying to make a professional go at that. How did you come in with bravado or were you like, what am I doing? Like, what was it?
I think like of all the things I've ever felt self-conscious about, honestly, I think like one thing that might've helped was just developing a sense of humor from a very young age, being a middle child with an older...
I'm a middle child,
right?
Yes.
Isn't it terrible?
Yes, it's a nightmare.
I have an older brother and a younger sister, which I particularly hated because I felt like I was like the beta male. Okay. And then I also had a baby sister who is, you know,
my God, of
so
course.
My mom was always kind of, I felt, dealing with my brother because he just required more.
Yeah.
And my dad had, you know, daddy's little girl. So I was kind of in the middle and I feel like I built up a sense of humor, and that's what I was known for in school, so I was really honing it.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I was never really I've never really doubted whether or not I was funny.
Okay.
Even like, and I've done Groundlings. But really anytime
for anyone who knows, they know.
And anytime I like didn't pass a Groundlings class or like cut from a Herald team or cut out of Groundlings, like I've always just been like, well, that's just them being wrong. Like I've never, for whatever reason, I've never let that kind of affect me. So, but what I do struggle with to, you know, what I really was working on today to come in here at that 9, horns blowing, maybe even a 10.
Woo!
I was at a 10, but then the pit bull across the street scared me and down to a 9.
Oh God, I have one too. This is going to be a nightmare. Uh-oh. She's cute though. No, these ones are scary.
That one, it
they're like yard dogs.
It's a yard. It jumped. I didn't know there was a dog there.
Yeah. Okay.
And it jumped, and so just like right away, there's dog face barking.
It's very. That's why we don't leave ours outside.
And
like we'll be out there with her. Yeah. But anyways, go on.
But when yours gets here, hopefully I can go back up to a 10. But so I know I'm funny and I believe in what I do.
Okay, so we believe in the raw talent.
We believe in the raw talent.
Okay.
It's the just, you know, we're also in a town that's not that any of my successful friends are not deserving it of course they are, but also it's not a town that's a meritocracy. So where I struggle
good way
is
of putting it.
When other people, that I struggle with, why am I not at this level? Or like, how have I not? And then the self-esteem drop kind of comes when it's like, I should be doing more.
Okay.
I didn't do this. I should have done this.
Mm-hmm.
Not that what I'm doing isn't funny or good, but I shouldn't have done that. I should have done this. Why am I still how have I not finished this thing yet? So that's where I get down on myself. And that's why I needed a productive morning so that I could spend the rest
of
the day being like, did it.
Turn to the routine.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% relate with you.
Yeah.
I also think I'm hilarious. Ooh. That's never been the question. But the actions is what gets me, and then the disappointment that comes with the reaction or lack thereof in some cases. And it's not jealousy of other people. It's blame of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, they worked harder than me, so they have that and I'm trash.
Exactly.
So it's like, that's why if people ask about jealousy, I'm like, kind of not really, because I'm too busy beating me up. I don't even see them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Bless, enjoy the job. Exactly. But like, great. Sorry, I got to kick myself in the face here a couple more times before I can really talk to you about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Love you. Because like, my friend's success is only like, you know, increasing my chance of success.
Totally. As soon as I can clear the garbage and actually see that.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, I'm totally with you where you're like, I either should have done more of this, less of this, sent that email, whatever, or I'm not smart enough in the industry, like the business savvy, whatever. And that is so ridiculous, because not that we shouldn't push ourselves to work hard. Sure, in any industry, of course, push yourself to your best. Why not? See what you're capable of. But it's so out of our hands.
1,000,000
Like, that is why it's so ridiculous, because like, it really is like out of our hands.
Yeah.
And we're like, I don't work hard enough, but you could just be too short.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a, yeah, truly.
Like we said with self-tapes, when they want to see a full body shot, is it to see if I've gained weight or not? Like, is that what it is?
You want
to
know if my shoes are too dirty? You don't think that I know that he must not be sick. His white sneakers are brown. He hasn't made enough money acting for us to consider him.
He doesn't even have new shoes.
Look at those shoes. And those are the shoes he's choosing to show us? Oh, we loved this. But then,
imagine the other shoes.
Yeah. But it's so funny, because truly, in terms of my own skill and talent, like, I'll go see a movie with like an Oscar-winning performance and be like, I could probably do that if I had the opportunity. But then...
I get it.
But then I'm down on myself, like... But I never will, because I don't work hard to get those opportunities.
Oh my God.
I never will, because I was doing this when all these people who have like, whose careers are like what I'm striving for now, they were working on this while I was, you know, I was doing improv and so-and-so was writing scripts. I'm such an idiot.
And it's the anger that's building in you right now saying that. It's like, it's not pity. I don't feel bad for myself where I'm like, everyone gets everything but me. I go, fuck you. That's why they get it. Cause you suck. Mm-hmm. It's like, rude.
And it's
being rude.
Yeah. And it's crazy, because it might have been an interview. I might have read an interview with Sarah Paulson, or I might be making this up completely.
I hope you're making it up.
But like, you don't stop evolving as a person or as an artist at any certain point. So like, the more we can, like, the more we feel any feelings or go do any things, it's all just building stuff up. So it's not like, oh, you didn't get in, party's closed. You know, everybody's kind of got a, you know, it's like Harry Potter world at Universal. Everybody has a different return time. And some people's return time has happened and some people haven't. And like, it doesn't matter if you're, what you're doing while you wait isn't going to change it. There's no control in that.
No, and all you can do is make choices in between that are like, that satisfy you and your creativity and you as a person. And it's like you said today, getting busy, staying busy, doing everything that you can do. And you could have just sat and waited or been like, I'm going to wait for the role to be offered on this federal holiday. I'm going to wait for the work role call, for the call of a lifetime here.
And then you get a 323 phone number and you're like, oh my God, I've made it. And it's the dentist confirming your appointment.
Not even. Mine's telemarketer. Oh, and it says on its spam risk, can I still pick it
up? Yeah, so like, you know what?
Because you never know.
Could be... Hollywood's calling. Oh my gosh. I didn't know. Did I audition for anything recently? No. Oh my gosh. Then it must be really prestigious.
Do you know what my problem
is?
I always think I've talked about this on the podcast before. I always think a check's going to come out of nowhere in the mail. And it's like, I have money. I'm fine. But it's like, I'm always like, here comes that $60,000 check because of, this thing that happened years ago. And now it's been fixed and they owed me $60,000 this whole time. Or I'll be like, that commercial I booked, guess it aired, and here comes all my residuals for the last 2 years. But it's like, no, dude, you've got to have, you know, you need to be realistic without being pessimistic.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's tricky, because it's also a level of, you know, you don't want to get in your head of like, like, for example, I finished, I wrote a sample script. I wrote me a little pilot. Finished in October.
Good for you.
And I sent it to my manager, and he read it, and he called me and was like, it's not my favorite. And I was just immediately was like, mine neither. I felt like this was what I was, I felt like this was the sample that was expected of me, like from meetings I've had and like people I've talked to, like I felt like, you know, and I've mentioned that I was working on this project. So like I've lost any, weeks ago I lost the desire to finish this, but I felt like, no, you said this was your next thing you were working on. You're halfway through it. Like, this is the thing you need to do.
Yeah.
And then hating myself because I didn't, you know, 2 months earlier realize, no, this is not, you're doing this as a chore instead of for the joy of it. Like,
yeah.
If you're not gonna get paid, you might as well make things that are for the joy. Like, if you're trying to get your work out there for people to hire you to do what you do, then you should be doing what you want to do, not what you think they want. And then you're in a spiral of, you know, I wasted all this time.
Every time I do what I think somebody wants, mm-hmm. it backfires.
Yeah.
And I mean every time.
Yeah.
There are jobs I know I lost, guarantee it, because I did what somebody else wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. Like, did an audition and then got a no, and it was like, you should do it this way. And I was like, oh, not in the room, like from the director. I just mean like from a rep or the person mm-hmm. helping you or whatever. And you're like, I really think it should be this way.
Yeah.
And then if it's like, no, this is what they want, or this is how it has to be, this is what the note says, you're like, okay. And then I'm not saying to be unhinged and just do everything your way forever and always, but it's like, we've got to draw a line and be like, this is making me miserable. This is no joy in my life.
Yeah. And
for 2 months, you had that nagging feeling. Come on. That's like, to sit down and write and get through it, I can't even believe you finished it.
The amount of rewrites. And that's what I try to focus on, is because I kept trying to make it work. I kept rewriting like page one and stuff painful. Like that. And so, and then I have a friend, a good friend, Kelly, she's a writer also. And I was like lamenting how I spent all this time and I sent it and I didn't even like it when I sent it. Ugh. And now my manager read it and
he's going to think I'm bad.
He thinks I'm bad. And it took me forever to do this thing. And she's like, yeah, but on the opposite side of it, like, you got it out of your system. Because otherwise, if I hadn't finished this and realized I didn't want to, you know, finish it, then it would always be like in the back of my mind, like, oh, I need to go back and do that, you know?
So yeah.
It's kind of like, you have to poop out your turds.
That's what happened with me dating young buff guys.
Mm-hmm.
Had to get it out of my system.
There you go.
Except I didn't.
Uh-oh.
Hello, looking for opportunity.
Remember, we are live.
We're live. So guys, do call in if you want to get with me. If you're a young buff guy, do call in, please.
Yeah.
If you can figure out how to use a phone.
Yeah. In this day and age.
Not just texting.
Actually call
in. Yeah, you have to actually call in. Thanks. Wow. Yeah. That's, it's just really interesting, the idea of what you just said of doing something for that long of a time that you don't want to do. I often think, what if I was in a job I genuinely hated and had to do and did it for like 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, what would that do to me? I wonder long-term, because I'm lucky. I've always done exactly what I wanted to do, not in the way I've wanted to do it. And it has not been easy or to the extent, you know what I mean? But I'm like, I've always pursued.
Right.
Maybe that's the word.
Yeah.
Pursued the thing I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine just being in a job that I absolutely hate. I guess that's why people really latch on to good workplace friends, because I think it can really make a job, a grim job, a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a part-time tour guide at Universal. Well, actually, I work in the office now. But, we're all just, you know, kind of just like, I almost feel like they're my war, like, veteran friends. Of,
yes!
Like, we've hated this job together for so long.
But does it make it a little more fun because you guys all do it?
Because we all hate it.
There you go. So I'm imagine having a job you hated and you hated everybody around you.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what? Like, I love doing comedy because everybody's so funny, makes me laugh all the time, even if there's a couple bad apples. But it's like, yeah, you can commiserate over how terrible something is.
Yeah.
Of course you can.
I've had jobs like, you know, just little gigs and stuff here and there that are maybe like a week or 2 weeks, and you just can't wait for it to end because it's just, not that there's anything wrong with anybody, you're just not vibing.
It just doesn't gel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Like, look, you can have coworkers that are like assholes, and you're like, okay, this is too much. But other times you're just like, yeah, we wouldn't be friends outside of this.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, if I met you at a party, I probably wouldn't have stayed and talked to you for that long. And that's fine. It just sucks that we're together this many hours.
Exactly.
Like,
it sucks that I see you more than my loved ones.
Yeah, exactly. This is me in a full-time job, Steve. Mm-hmm. No good.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. No good.
Yeah.
I'm just not meant to do it.
I get it.
I'm not meant to do it. I love a part-time lifestyle.
Yeah.
I just do.
Do you feel though...
And multiple part-times. It can be working more hours in a week.
Uh-huh. That's where I'm at right now. And just little things all over the place. Do you ever just... I feel like in terms of the work of it, yes. Mm-hmm. I love that of it.
The work of it.
The scheduling of it.
Yes. And the life balance.
The scheduling, the life balance. I start with a new therapist today. Isn't that exciting?
Okay. But
one of the things I talked a lot with my old therapist about was just the anxiety I feel on a day-to-day because every day is different.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to be at the same place Monday through Friday, 4 days a week for 20 years, but I'd love if I could have the same schedule.
I know.
I would love if all of my other things could be fit into Monday through
Friday. Scheduling's really hard and really stressful. Mm-hmm.
Every day's different.
Every day's different, but how fun, because what if it ends up being the best day?
Exactly. That's so true.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, what if? Yeah. And then you're like, this was an actual dream come true.
Yeah.
What if?
Isn't it funny though?
But it's hard.
Like, yeah, because my brain immediately goes to like, what if? It goes to like, oh, it's so stressful. Everything's different. But it's like, yeah, but also... everything's different. Like, every day's different.
I mean, according to this tarot card behind me that I pulled, this year's supposed to be about balance for me, which is something I'm not quite familiar with.
Yeah.
That the freelance lifestyle,
yeah,
a paycheck to paycheck, and some of them can be really significant.
It's in your DNA, the mail. Like,
yeah, well, some of them can be my $60,000 checks I'm waiting for from something that happened 6 years ago that I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it can be that and can be great. Some of it, not so much. But I'm like, the balance of, I guess I can't control the work. So I'm like, of the industry work, you can't always control that. But I'm like, I need to do something that has more consistent hours. I'm not even saying a job. I mean, even a class, something where it's like, this is scheduled, this has to be this way, and then you can schedule things around this.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And it's tough.
Accountability.
Because I need somebody to tell me.
Like, oh my God.
I have to be held, like, I can't hold, I know exactly what you mean. I can't hold myself accountable to that. Like, I'll try to set a routine of like, you know what, every morning I get up this time, I'll walk to Bolt, and I'll do my, oh no, now people know I live near a coffee shop called Bolt.
This is a nightmare. will not edit this out. Don't worry,
routine.
We stopped recording 15 minutes ago, you remember.
Great. That's my favorite thing about your podcast is the ending is always so abrupt. It just ends mid-sentence.
Well, goodbye.
Yeah. Then it cuts to you talking about like why you stopped. Yeah.
No, sorry. Go on.
But just, I don't have anybody to be like, I guess that's the shitty part of being an adult is I don't have anybody to be like, be here at this time. Like, that's my job.
Yes.
And it's just so tough.
Yes.
And like, even with, you know, with writing a script or something, when I want to come up with something new or like create a sample, it's like, I wish, like, say I'll have like a general and they'll be like, oh, we really like that idea. You should like develop that and come back with us. I wish they'd be like, you need to do that by February 2nd.
Oh my God.
Or we're not interested anymore.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like, I'm a real morning person. I have a to-do list of like, try to journal every day when you have your coffee, take out the dog, whatever. But I want to associate times and dates with things.
Yes.
It's why you see me with the podcast. I'm like meticulous of coming, circling back, being like, hey, what about this day, this time? Here's this. Because I'm like, I need to start having accountability from 10 to 2. Like, if I say I'm going to write, I'm like, great. What time?
Mm-hmm.
What time are you going to do the thing the big task?
Yeah.
Like, say you, let's get back to New Year's resolutions for a second. Somebody wants to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Great. When?
Yeah.
Just tell me when.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the gym. Great. What time? Set a time.
And it's so tough because it's like, then, oh, I'm gonna go to the gym at 10 o'clock this morning. And then it's 9:30. Well, I could just go at noon. And then it's noon. Well,
you see,
I could just get high, have lunch, and go at 4.
Exactly. And then away we go at 4. Then,
and well, no, because then it's like, oh, it's going to be busy. I'm just going to have to go tomorrow. So, not even. I'm going to go first thing tomorrow morning, which is basically the same as going tonight.
Yeah.
If I go tonight at 8, it's the same as going at 8 in the morning. There's no difference. And then it's 8 in the morning. It's like, well, that's so early. I might as well go at 10. And just, it's too easy. I'm a procrastinator. It's in my blood. My mom would make our Halloween costumes, which is adorable, but also they wouldn't be done until like heading out the door to trick or treat.
Oh yeah.
So like I can put something off for you wouldn't believe how long.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's my challenge. Maybe that should be my resolution, to stop procrastinating. It just seems so hard.
I mean, you did show up 5 minutes late.
That's true.
But you told me before that time.
Mm-hmm.
So you did give the proper heads up.
I even left with time.
Wow. But I mean, we don't have to say where you live again, but there's a bit of distance between us. So
the problem is that boulevard. I was taking the boulevard.
Oh, copy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that is something that, that is something I have a long history of lateness.
Can I tell you, you can change, please.
Yeah.
You can change. I was late for everything, mm-hmm. a learned behavior from my mother. Yes, mm-hmm. I am blaming.
Same.
I'm blaming. Same. I don't even care. I hope she's banned from listening to the podcast. I hope she makes an exception for this episode so I can slap it in her face how much it's her fault.
Yeah.
Her fault was late to everything showing up here by hours sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what it is. I just got some sense slapped into me that was basically like, it's a waste of people's time. It's you telling them I don't value your time when you show up late. And then that was the end of it for me. Yeah. Always on time.
And
that was it.
Yeah. Maybe I will make that my resolution. My thing is my defense has always been, see, the thing is, what's genetically wired into my brain is that time is much more fluid than other people think it is. Other people think, well, I better leave 30 minutes before work every morning just to make sure I get there on time.
Yeah, yes.
And every morning before work, I leave at 15 minutes thinking that today will be the day that I get there on time.
Exactly.
Like, I will get there. Yeah. There won't be traffic.
Okay, but here, let's talk self-care for a second here.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that added stress you're putting on yourself?
Oh,
like,
my God,
does
yes.
that just not tear you to shreds? Yeah. Like, I had to start showing up places on time because I was mm-hmm. so stressed out and frazzled. And I was like, Elena, you fucking idiot, in the car, screaming, banging, like all this stuff. So negative that when mm-hmm. I did show up at that place, I was miserable.
Yeah.
So it's like for you, like to not do that to poor Steve, my friend Steve.
I got on anti-anxiety medication instead of switching, instead of not being
late. Hey, I've done the meds game. Why not? Just to nip one problem that you could have just solved another way.
I get too angry in the car. Well, I still need to leave with only 5 minutes.
I'm going to take these car meds.
Yeah, exactly.
I just keep them in the car.
Daddy needs his car candy.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
You have to untrain. Mm-hmm. And retrain. And it's really not easy.
Next time I see you, I'm going to be like, you're not going to believe this. I was on time to something.
Okay. Actually, Steve, perfect way to wrap up the podcast. You're right on time. Listen to this. I've got an invite for you, actually.
Oh, wow.
Not the next time I see you, because I hope to see you before this offer, hot offer, career changing. We have a Patreon, Self-Esteem Party, where we bring back our guests
after
some time has passed to pick up where we left off and get the update of the things we talked about. So I would be honored to have you on in a couple of months or however much time has passed that you feel ready to come back, and let's see if you made good on this.
I have a reason.
What do you think?
Let's set a date. I have a reason. Yes, let's set a date.
I've got it. Okay, a year from now.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. January 16th, 2024.
That's great. This is fantastic.
Isn't this amazing?
Because also what that means is like isn't it funny that we started this being like, oh, be kind to yourself. Don't worry about like making January into this big like I'm gonna change my life.
But this is a life
that's
goal.
That's true.
This is a positive. Not a January or a year goal. This is not a result. This is who you are, because you said it is ingrained in you. So we're not talking about something that's like you're doing. It's like no, this is who you are now.
Do you prefer recording on Mondays? Did you want to do the 15th? Do MLK Day again? Or do you want to just do full year of
I'm doing 16th? I'm going to do full year.
Okay.
Because what if you need that extra day?
That's true.
And guess what? That's your holiday next year. Mm-hmm. You gave it to me this year. Next year, that's yours.
And you know what? I can ease into it. You know, maybe I'll start by being on time to work once.
Ease in. I'm not saying it needs to be, oh, for a full year since we talked, but I just, and you can come back and say I didn't do it. And maybe that'll make you feel it a 2 or 3. I don't know.
That's true.
But we should at least toss out a suggested date with a suggested action to follow.
Perfect.
I think so too, because it could be another slow start as we felt this year has been. And then maybe it's like halfway through, you're like, it fucking worked.
And you know what?
It just worked.
And you know what? Fans having procrastination issues, join along.
You know,
join in. Let's make this the year of being on time.
Here's what we're going to do for the fans as we wrap up. If you want to join Steve in his I cannot say procrastination reset. We're relearning. It's a relearn. If you want to join in, tweet at Self-Esteem Party. And of course, we'll tag you in this, Steve. Yeah. Tweet at Self-Esteem Party or Instagram comment us, hashtag on time.
Mm.
What do you think?
I love that. Okay. I love being the face of a movement.
You know what, Steve? Okay, this is perfect. And on MLK Day of all days. We gotta end this podcast. Steve, you came in at a 9.
I know.
How you feeling now? We'll take anything.
I'm taking the 10. I'm taking the 10. I'm gonna be on time to stuff. I start therapy today. It's Zoom, but I will be there. 6 on the dot.
And that's it. Let's shake on that.
Let's shake on it.
All right, everybody. Yep. You heard it here. Steve, thank you so much. Get ready to meet the dog, yeah?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Let's
do
it. I'm
gonna
go
from a 10 to an 11.
Excuse you? Believe in yourself.